This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host and the executive director of the Human-Animal Connection, Jeannie Joseph. And I'm so excited to talk to Dr. Keith. He does amazing work. He's going to tell you about all the modalities that he does. But today we're going to talk about energy healing with animals, which is just so much fun because, as you know, animals don't generally talk to us in language and words. So we have to really pay attention to what their body is telling us. And I'll tell you all about working with Dr. Keith. Well, Dr. Keith, thank you for being a guest on the show. Would you please tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
I'm Dr. Keith McLaughlin. I am coming up in my fifth year of practice here. I specialize particularly in a technique called network spinal, which deals with light touches along the spine to basically initiate the brain and body to self-correct and activate that natural healing system, right? You cut your hand, it heals. So body already has capacity to heal. Let's activate that. Let's get that working and optimized. So that's my primary thing. I pretty much knew this since I was young. I knew I wanted to go into chiropractic. I didn't know network spinal, and it's been a life pursuit of really trying to understand this weird thing we call the human system.
And yeah, this is a weird thing, all right.
Yeah, and that tracks over to larger, broader into nature, right? Human system is, we're seeing an expression of human, like Mother Nature doing its thing. And same thing with animals. So it's kind of like one of the beautiful things is we're watching nature happen in real time. And so my study, one of my favorite lines, and I think this really hits it on the nail best, is medicine is a study of disease and how a man dies. And chiropractic is a study of life and how a man lives. It's not good or bad, but just what I do is I study life.
Yeah.
Understand how does life work.
Interested in the life force, interested in seeing how it can work better, seeing where there's blocks to communication in the body and so on. Yeah. So I think what's really interesting is that although you are a chiropractor, you're not a popping and cracking chiropractor. You're working with the nervous system directly, which means very subtle work, which I'm very excited about because recently I was in a car accident and have whiplash and a concussion, and everybody knows what that's all about. Thank God I met you, and I was able to bring in my dog, Sophia. So you've been working on me and you've been working on Sophia. Sophia is a 12-year-old dog and she has some mobility issues and some issues related to old age. So tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you, how you've been working with Sophia.
I use a little bit different process than I do in rather than network spinal. And really it's following this original concept I was just mentioning. It's like Mother Nature is intelligent. It kind of made all of you and it's still continuing the process. So how can we lean into that intuition and that trust? And so I start by just like literally putting my hands on her and I'm just noticing what's coming up in me, what's coming up in her. And then we just kind of see where it goes. We just kind of like, oh, I'm noticing I want to like put my hands on her leg. Oh, I'm noticing I want to compress her a little bit. And I'm just noticing and watching how she responds to that. And certain things will come up, especially as we start to work. I'll feel emotions come up. All of a sudden I'll feel really angry. I'm like, why am I feeling angry? I'm like, oh, there's anger in the air, there's lingering. And it's not really that complicated. I mean, you know, when you walk in a room and they're like, oh my gosh, what happened? There's something intuitively there. They're like, did someone die? You know, like there's like a joke going on.
Yeah.
But how did you know?
Right.
You know, it wasn't something particular. You just have this like vibe sense. There's like a general feeling. And so what we're doing is we're maximizing that skill set. We're maximizing this intuitive knowingness that seems to be with all of us. Mm-hmm. I'm really listening and noticing, I'm noticing I want to go here. Oh, I'm noticing she's like getting resistant to that. Oh, we need something. There's something there, something going on. And especially like the first time I put my hands on Sophia, I was like, who'd she get attacked by? That was my first thought.
Right.
I started telling the story a little bit. And I was like, it felt like a bigger dog had came on and like bit her nose or like tried to pin her down or something.
Yeah.
It felt like I could feel the anxiety of that. And that experience just like almost like rushed into me. I was like, and it's so clear. It just kind of comes up. Now that's just me paying attention to what comes up. I don't know if that's true. And that's why I asked. I'm like, what happened? And then you start telling me the story and I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah.
So just for our listeners, Sophia was a feral dog. She had a pretty rough life before I got her. She was in several shelters. She was pretty wild at first. You know, if I had people come over to my house, I had to strap her to my waist because she turned into Cujo. And we're talking about a 20-pound dog here. So, so she had quite a history. And it was fascinating to watch you, because if you were just observing from the outside, we'd say, oh, he's barely touching her. He's just doing these light little touches. But what was interesting is you began to feel her story as you touched her body through feeling what the feelings were being triggered in you, like your fields were merged or your intuition was merged, mm-hmm. and you could sense her history. So, yeah, and what's really funny is that when we first you started working on her in her little carriage, we'll show those pictures, and then we put her on the floor while you were working on me, and she would go run around all happy now, all bouncy, her energy much better, you know, much more mobility going on. And then she would come back and flirt with you. She would look, you're sitting on the floor next to me, and she would just look you right in the eyes like, touch me some more, touch me some more. And then she would get a little more, and then she would run off and integrate it, which I thought was so fascinating, because it's like we think of, you know, that model of massage, like you're on a table for half an hour, whatever, which is wonderful. But the notion of, okay, let me get a little bit, let me assimilate a little bit, let me run around the room like a toddler almost. Yeah. It was fun to watch.
It's important to view, especially when we're talking about the study of life here, right? It's important to, what do we do in life? We move, we live, we move around, we breathe, we have feelings, we have emotions, all this type of stuff. And so it's like, we have a common saying, like the adjustment happens off the table, not on the table. Like we get the fire started on the table, but what happens off the table is really where the magic happens, because it's your body doing the healing. Yeah. So same thing, you know, I go do this contact or something on Sophia, and then she runs around and she's like, you know, she's probably doing a little thing where she's like, oh, this is new. I don't know what's happening here, but something feels different.
Right.
And exactly what my clients say. They say it all the time. I adjust them. They come back and they like, my symptoms aren't better, but I'm like all of a sudden sitting up straighter. And then my friend said something at work that usually aggravates me, and it didn't aggravate me. Like something's changing here. And it just kind of starts with little stuff like that. And it starts add up and accumulating, and we start seeing these sustainable changes. And so you're kind of seeing that in real time. And, you know, I mentioned this a little bit with like infants and such, or it's like sometimes a mom brings in toddler, like 2 years old or something. And, you know, mom's like, oh, do you need me to keep them still? I'm like, no. I'm like, they're a toddler. Just let them run around. I'll just follow them. Like, let them do their thing. Let them, because that's all that's information for me.
Right.
And working on toddlers is actually like kind of similar to animals. They kind of have a similar, like, emotional energy is really high. Like, they're very reactive. They don't really have much filtration from the ego. Like, they're just like there. They're present.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually really helpful for care, because I can see how they respond.
Right.
If I get into a spot and I'm like, oh, that's too much.
Right.
Because I can see them reflexively pull away and they're like, I don't want that. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of notice and get good feedback with that. So,
yeah, that's such important data, because this is one of the ways that animals will communicate with us, is that they will shift away, move away literally, or shift their head, turn their eyes away, or in some way remove themselves, you know, to put more distance between you and the touch or whatever. And this is great information. So when people are working with animals, they really want to pay attention. Is the animal moving towards you? Like when Sophia comes and says, okay, I'm ready for more. And she'll take a little treatment and then she'll move away. And I say a little treatment, I'm talking about maybe 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a few seconds. And what would you say you're doing when your hands are on her, like you found a spot? What's happening in that moment when your hands are on her?
Yeah. So we have this premise in chiropractic, which is the nervous system is the conductor of the orchestra, right? And this is a kind of like a new concept. It's not really, I mean, I literally have it in my massive Grey's Anatomy book. Nervous system is a master control system. So if this thing is not aware of what's off, nothing changes.
Right.
Right. And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing awareness in some way of the brain. I'm waking up the brain. I'm saying, hey,
oh,
you see this? Do you see this? Do you see this? And all of a sudden the brain, wait, what? That's not supposed to be there. And then there's some shift.
You've
probably seen this with Sophia. Like she goes, and then she had a head, right? She's like, whoa, what was that? Like,
yeah.
It's because we touched something that hasn't been seen in a while and kind of got swept under the rug. I I sometimes use the analogy in my office. It's kind of like dirty laundry you threw under your bed and then you forgot about it. Brain does the same thing. When the brain's like, I can't handle this, it, you know, throws it in the back.
Mm-hmm. And
it often forgets about it because it disconnected.
Yes.
It's a survival strategy. What's the body designed to do to try to maintain survival in the moment?
Yeah.
But it never goes back and processes it. So I get into these spots, I'm just noticing there's a natural, seems to be almost like magnetic, where I'm exploring and then all of a sudden I go to the spot and I'm like, huh, what's there? And as a clinician, I'm asking, is this fascia? Is this an organ? Is this the musculature? Is this the joints? And I'm just noticing and exploring different options. And I'm noticing when I land on one, when I get that like kind of yes feeling in my body, I'll hit like fascia or something. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah. And then I get this like image of like, oh, this is through the fascia of the neck. And this was this experience, right? When I was working on Harry.
Yeah, Harry's my other dog, my therapy dog and big dog. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us the story about that. That was fascinating. Yeah.
Perfect example. And I think I think Mel was next to you, probably blew both your minds that I immediately knew his history without you guys telling me anything. I just put my hands on him and I immediately went down to his belly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is like trauma. Like this is deep trauma level. Not like, in some cases it might be like, oh, like dog had a little horseplay, got a little, you know, rough. This was like, oh, this was like really scary situation. And he thought his life was going to end, like that level of stress.
Right.
And I could feel it. And it felt all the way through the fascia, probably down through the front, through the perineum, all the way down to the tailbone.
Mm-hmm.
And my next question was he neutered?
Yes.
And
yes.
How was that process? Because I was like, there's something really intense down here. I don't know what it is, but I know it's in the connective tissue. I know it's in the fascia.
Right.
And immediately you said, yes, when he got neutered, it was a really rough surgery. In fact,
yeah, he almost died. It should have been an absolutely routine surgery by a very skilled surgeon who does it, all day long, every day. But something went wrong and the stitches didn't hold and he was open and it was an emergency situation. So, yeah, this was his previous owners. When I got him, he was in a house with 12 other dogs. And, so they felt that they were going to lose him. And I'm sure he felt, yeah. So, I mean, it was amazing that one touch, you were able to recognize the source of trauma. I mean, Harry looks like a perfectly happy dog. He's a therapy dog. He makes everybody laugh. You know, he's wonderful. He's great. But he has some history, as we all do. Yeah. And so...
Oh, and it was kind of funny how Harry came up to me because he's just like plopped down and was like, he was like so expectant of it. Not even like there was no
introduction, no foreplay. No,
and it's like, I know why you're here. Just get to work on me. With that energy, they plopped down.
It was great. Like he knew, you know, I told him you were coming and, you know, he watched you work on the donkeys, which we're going to hear about in a minute. But he just had that immediate feeling of, here's my body. Go ahead. Do me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's partially why it took me off guard, the level of trauma I was experiencing on top of the amount of casualness that he approached me with. Because when he approached me, it was so like easygoing and, you know, it's okay. And then all of a sudden it felt like I touched something jagged. And it was just like, whoa, what is that? And I was almost like, is this real? I was like, this can't be this intense because he's this easygoing, this relaxed.
Yes.
I kept going. I was like, no, this is definitely, there's something here.
Yeah.
As they kept going. And so it's like, there's past trauma, that memory, our bodies don't forget anything. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because it stores it survival. It goes in the, you know, it's like your file on your computer. It says, okay, I'll just store that for later. And just like probably all of us, we have files and files of stuff from like, oh yeah, that was back from 2008. Like I forgot that file was even here,
you know?
And our bodies do the same thing. It stores it and it's for survival. Because our body's trying to remember, oh, if that situation comes up again, this is how I handled it last time.
Right.
But sometimes there's still kind of this like half step in between where the body's still having the physiological response as if that thing is happening and it's not fully in the present.
Yes.
Does not have an affection, is not in trauma right now, but the body's still kind of holding some of that trauma. It's like in this weird half step position, like half gear, you know, type of thing. And it hasn't fully let itself go. It hasn't let itself relax.
Yes.
So we bring awareness to the area. We just kind of like follow it as the brain starts to reconnect and says, oh, it's okay. It starts leveling out of that freeze state.
Right.
And we see the system start to regulate and then it's not holding on for dear life. You know, could you imagine if you're like right before a car accident, right? You might be like clutching the wheel. Could you imagine if you're just holding yourself like that for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I kind of still am. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, and people come in and say, I don't understand why my neck's always tense. Some part of you is still in that accident.
Right, exactly. Well, what's interesting about Harry, you know how most dogs, they love to, and our donkeys, of course, love to have their butt scratched, you know, the back end. They love this little, well, Harry doesn't like that, you know? And so he doesn't, it's like, you know, every dog loves it and all the house dogs in our house get that. Harry doesn't want it, right? Which is fine for now. But what was interesting was that I think, you know, because you asked me to observe since it's only been a couple of days, but I think he's wagging his tail more, you know, like there's more tail motion, more happy tail, you know, just in me talking to him. So I'm just so thrilled that we could bring him some healing because he's such a great dog. And, you know, he doesn't need to carry that whole history. So that's really great.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want you to tell the folks about working with our therapy donkeys, Rosie and Lily. So we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm speaking with Dr. Keith about energy healing with animals, where we're talking directly to the nervous system, which if you didn't know any better, you'd think Dr. Keith was psychic in his ability to immediately put his hands on an animal and know exactly what's going on. It's really, he's worked on now 4 animals that I know, 5 animals that I know. So I know, and I know all of those animal stories, and I know that what he's seen and felt in his hands is exactly accurate, and very excited to see the healing that happens when Dr. Keith awakens the nervous system so the body can do its own healing. It's very exciting. So tell us about working with Rosie and Lily, our 2 miniature therapy donkeys who are rescues. We rescued them during the during the LA fires, and they are doing wonderfully. But you were able to, I'll tell the story. I'm working with Rosie and Lily.
Yeah. It's fun, especially because different animals will have different levels of personality in particular. And I definitely think I've been with a few horses. They're like hypersensitive. The donkeys weren't as much, but they are a little bit. I would put them in a more sensitive category for sure. Probably even know that more than myself, having both them around constantly.
Yeah.
And you know, when I first I instantly realized the connection between them, the bond. When I was putting my hands forget which one I was putting my hands on first. It might have been Rosie.
Yeah, I think Rosie. Yeah,
I was putting my hands on Mom first, and I could feel the not tension, but there was like definite awareness. Was like looking at Rosie. It was like, what's going on over there? It was like some tension, and I could tell like, oh, there's like a connection here. Almost like when baby like looks to Mom for like is this okay? Is everything all right? You know, like there's like a little bit of connection. And I was like, oh, there's like definitely a bond here. And then I was surprised. I like went right into their neck. And I've been seeing this. It does seem anatomy has a factor where things will typically stagnate and get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're talking about just the way, because they're quadrupeds, they usually the base of their neck, they're lifting up these huge heads, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
especially at an angle creates more weight. And so it's not uncommon to find stuff in there. And so I went to the base of her neck and I'm just paying, again, like I said before, I'm paying attention to what comes up in me.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thing that came up, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Almost like a feeling. I was like, oh, I know this feeling in my body, which is depressed.
Yes.
I feel unmotivated. I feel
heavy.
I feel weighted down.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, she feels depressed. And then the flavor as I kept feeling into it, this was like, oh, she's like almost like leaning on somebody else. And I was like, that kind of makes sense. I was like, first thought, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. There's therapy donkeys. Like, they're probably putting a lot of energy into other people and, mm-hmm. you know, like paying attention. But then I was like, and that's when I asked you the question, what was her experience with her previous situation?
Yes.
And you said it was kind of like, you know, kind of therapy donkey, but also her previous owner had cancer. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Previous owner passed away and they were her comfort and support donkeys. So they weren't true therapy donkeys in the sense that we work with therapy. You know, they do work with other people, but they were her support system. So they had the loss of her. And also you recognize that the bond, the mother-daughter, we hadn't told you they were mother-daughter when you first started working with them. And what's interesting, they'll do almost like dolphins. They'll move in sync about 80% of the time. They'll look together, eat, put their head down to eat, put their head up to look at some noise, turn back. You know, they move in sync a lot, not all the time, of course. But so you felt that bond that is pretty deep. And then you also felt that they were carrying some depression from some of their past. Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt like not exactly compersion of emotion, but it's like Rosie was feeling an experience that somebody else is feeling and like almost experiencing herself, like feeling sad that somebody else is sad. Like that was
right.
the flavor of it.
Right.
And when you said, oh, previous owner had cancer, I was like, oh, she was like, putting a lot of energy into like trying to caretake previous owner. And I was like, whoa. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of staying present with it and just noticing, okay, what's going on here? And then, you know, there's a few times that sometimes stuff is like really mechanical. Sometimes it's not the emotional thing.
Right.
One of the things I don't know if you noticed was I was really trying to draw her neck into different positioning.
Yes, I saw that.
Be involved. And I really wanted her like explore. Again, we're trying to wake up the brain.
Right.
Explore. And so I was really in this, like, what we call lateral flexion. I was really trying to pull her neck. And they got way more mobility. They can take their neck way more than we can as humans.
Yeah.
Really just trying to explore, like, oh, what's that feeling in the base of my neck here? Like, let's keep going here. Let's keep going.
Uh-huh.
And just keep moving with it. And however her body wants to integrate that, you know, typically, like, when I have humans come in, I have to, like, coordinate them, like, hey, stretch a little bit. Hey, like, feel your body. Hey, notice when the breath comes in. Hey, you know, I kind of have to cue a little bit. Animals, they just do it.
Right.
They are idiosuppressing. So they'll kind of know, like, oh, I kind of want to move now. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, it's just like this reaction.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And it was fun to watch too, because you'd work on them a little and then they'd move away, you know, not like away, but just a few feet away. And then they'd come back and there was this weaving pattern, which I think is so beautiful to watch, the way the animals know, okay, now I'm ready for another touch, or no, I need to integrate that and move a little. And it's so inspiring to watch. It's like a dance, you know, in terms of I receive energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Very much a dance. It's a dance.
Yeah.
There's some sensitivity. You know, you go to the nightclub and then you start dancing with somebody and you're like, this guy's a total creep. You know, like I need to come in with the energy of like, hey, like this is your permission. Like, you know, like you can stop this at any time. Like you have space. Like I need to be attentive. And this is the power for me of working on animals is you get really live feedback. So mm-hmm. if you're coming in too aggressively, animals immediately be like, nope,
I don't
know what you're doing. Don't back off, you know, type. Uh-huh. And that's typical, you know, if another human does that to you where they like really get in the face, you know, if I just meet somebody randomly and try to start working on them, that's kind of like, doing, dude. Like, back off. Same exact thing with the animals. It's like, I need permission. So like, it's usually the first question I ask internally. I'm like, do I have permission to work on you? It's really rare that I get a no, but I have gotten a no before on occasion. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, don't touch me.
Right.
And it's usually the animals have had some type of really severe level of trauma that like, they're like, I need to avoid humans. I need to avoid people. I'm going to do my own thing. Usually I see that with like cats. Oftentimes,
right.
Cats are very individualized in their energy. They're very like, type of thing.
Right.
And I'm really noticing what comes up in me when I ask that question. Like, is it a network on you? Is it like I just stepped in the hot tub and I have an experience where I'm like, oh yeah, everything's cool. Like this,
okay.
No problem, you know? And so I'm just being attentive as we go through with that. It was fun getting to Lily in particular because I got to her throat and it was all this fascia up in her throat, actually. It was kind of like similar neck thing going on. But then I felt this like line of connective tissue all the way up into the neck into your jaw, really holding. And it's actually pretty common because it's funny. I actually just realized this connected to network. But what I was getting was anger or like stubbornness.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And that's why I asked her, I was like, how old is she? Because I was like, this is like teenager stubbornness.
Yeah.
Like she's a 15, 16 year old girl that's like wants to be like stuck up and like being a little bit, you know, like a sudden.
Yeah, we call her assassin. We call her sassy, which was the word you used. It was the pattern you used, because she's got that. Yeah, she's got that.
Yeah. Quality. Yeah. And actually, typically in network, the phase or the typical postural norm we'll see with frustration is usually the lower cervical gets involved. And what happens is the chin translates forward, the neck translates forward, and all this tension comes up the front. And we typically start gritting our teeth because we're angry.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the postural tension. So I just actually realized that when I was talking about it, I was like, actually, that's consistent with that work.
Yeah.
Which is kind of silly. But as I kept working, I definitely noticed that energy. And what's crazy is I didn't see it coming in. I had no idea about that. And then I forget who I was talking to, one of the other women that was there. And she was like, oh, yeah, she's totally attention needy. Like,
yeah,
stuff. I was like, oh, cool. So I had no idea. I was just like kind of exploring here and noticing what came up. And as I like sit on these contacts, I'm just holding and waiting for them to release.
Wow.
I'm just holding and I'm like, is there something more to explore here?
Yeah.
Is there something more that we need to notice here? Do I need to change my pressure? And I'm just changing as we're going along. And then at some point it feels like it almost like vanishes. It's just like all of a sudden that feeling, that experience just like poof. And also I'm not, like my hands don't want to attract to the area anymore. There's like, and then I just kind of like, again, we go back to observation. And that's why particularly I told you for both of them, like watch their necks over the next day. You might see them doing some interesting stuff where they're like moving a little bit more.
They were very vocal the next day. They were like, hey, they had a lot to say. Yeah, that was great. That was great. Yeah. Well, let's maybe give people some tips if they're listening, you know, even though they're not professional practitioners, just not working professionally, but just with their own animals. How can they begin to kind of wake up their hands in the way that your hands are awake? How can they begin to listen? How can they begin to feel? What could you say to people to just practice with their own animals?
I think it's a powerful skill just in general to do this even with your own body. And it's actually kind of part of somatic integration work. That's like, there's a whole nother branch of that, which is basically we're listening and watching. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. So like, if someone's in a lot of pain, I use this all the time. Actually, I've only taken a painkiller once in my life. That's when I got my wisdom teeth pulled out. But I've never taken an Advil, Tylenol or anything like that. Never. And I was like, well, I kind of need a method of pain relief. And this is the method I use on myself. I was in 9 out of 10 pain. I injured my back at some point. I couldn't walk and I never took a painkiller for it because I knew how to manage my pain. I knew how to be with my pain. And this is how I do it. And it's listening. It's really that simple. I know this sounds crazy. Literally. Well,
yeah.
Just listening.
So let's talk, what is listening to pain? What does that mean in terms of, tell me how you listen to your pain?
And to give people like a sentence stem, I'm noticing. Okay. I'm noticing blank. I'm noticing it feels compressed in my rib cage. Ooh, I notice this like a stinging, stabbing pain. It feels like it's like around this area. It's about 2 inches wide. just going to stay with it, kind of notice. Maybe it feels a little bubbly, feels sharp, it feels stinging. And you're bringing some awareness to just like, what is this experience like? Now, we can do this meditatively with our own bodies, which is great. And what you do is you start extending that past yourself. So you place your hands on the animal and you're noticing, what am I noticing when I place my hands here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm noticing my hands like want to go to their pelvis. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, it's almost like the base of their tail. What's going on here? Oh, that's interesting. What am I noticing come up in me? I'm noticing there's like some sharp anxiety coming up. Whoa, what's that? What's there? That's interesting. So what I recommend is this one, listen openly, not trying to figure out. This is like hard to sit like.
Right.
And you probably have this issue come up when you're working with people all the time is they're like, yeah. Oh, my dog thinks this.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, or right. My animal thinks this, you know, and it's like, no. Like give them some space for the answer to show up.
Right. Yeah, so the trick is not to think about what you're feeling, but to feel what you're feeling without judging it, saying it's good or bad or anything like that.
Yeah, just we're trying to stop that moment before interpretation.
Right.
So usually we notice things and then we interpret, and that becomes
right. Judgment.
Yeah, we're fine, and we're trying to slow down that process where we're just in that space of noticing. We're like, oh, and that's why I give the sentence to them. I'm noticing. I'm drawn to their belly. I'm noticing I want to like dig my fingers a little deeper. I'm noticing just like, interesting.
Yeah.
Just move with curiosity. Yeah.
Fascinating. So this is something you can use for yourself and with your animals is to simply listen with your fingers is maybe a way we could put it, to just put your hands on the animal and notice, oh, this part feels warm or cool or tense or soft or squishy or whatever. And without having it to have any meaning, we're not looking to analyze it. We're not looking to diagnose or prescribe it. We just, how does it feel? Oh, it's changing now. I had my hands there for a couple of seconds and it was cool and now it's warm. Okay. Or now I feel like moving up or now I feel like moving back. So this is really something great. I think we should have you teach a class in this because I think everybody would want to learn this.
And I'd love to share a little story about how I really discovered this on my own. I learned it through, I was listening to Donnie Epstein, who created Network Spinal, which is a technique I do. And I was listening to him talk and he starts talking about this thing called alexithymia. And I'm like, oh gosh, okay, here comes a big word. I'm like, alexithymia, right? Alexithymia is specifically a lack of ability to describe your experience. It's usually with like post-stroke patients or some type of neurological dysfunction, like on the extreme end, right? And you'll go to these clients and what you'll be is you'll say, hey, how does the symptom feel? And they'll be like, they struggle so much to describe what they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And what was noticed statistically, this is really cool. The people who had higher rates of alexithymia had worse prognosis.
Mm-hmm.
That means they were probably worse off if they couldn't describe their experience. Why would that be?
Right.
And what Donnie started pointing to was he's like, basically, the brain can't understand fully what's going on, so you can't describe it fully.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? If we can really, truly get in connection and experience our body, it's a sign our nervous system is creating a neural network to really understand itself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a higher chance that you're probably going to heal.
Wow. Okay. That's fascinating.
It's an important part. So when I'm talking with a client, right, I ask them, I say, what does it feel like?
Uh-huh.
When they start struggling, I'm like,
a little
of that going on. It's not like full gray, but there's something.
Right.
Right.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Fascinating the potential of connecting up the nervous system for healing for ourselves and others. And this has been great, Dr. Keith. If people want to find you, what's your website so they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's limitlessnetworkspinal.com.
Limitlessnetworkspinal.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. I think we've just scratched the surface here, but we're going to have you on again. So thank you for being a guest on the Human Animal Connection.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. there, you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.